December 8th, Germany City, Bangalore.
So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find that Srila Prabhupada has quoted this verse so often that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Narayana Chaitanya, has come to give what no other incarnation or acharya has given in a very, very long time. How long? Since the previous day of Brahma, that is many, many trillions of years. He's come to give the most brilliant, highest love of the, he wanted to taste, came to reason, wanted to taste something and wanted to distribute something. He came to taste, that is, Krishna came to taste what he had been yearning to taste in the form of Krishna, but was unsuccessful. He wanted to taste the love of Srimati Radhika, which, in his own words, he says, drives him mad. He says, although I am Purnanandamoy, I am the embodiment of unlimited pleasure, and a drop of that pleasure is sufficient to drown the entire universe, still, I forget who I am and what I'm supposed to do when I'm in the front of Srimati Radhika. She is my brain guru, and that guru causes me, the Shisha, to dance many novel dances, not dancing with any control, but dancing out of control, just like a leaf in the wind dances without its own control. And also, second, what is it about me that even I cannot relish, that drives Radharani mad? What is it about my qualities, my form, my pastimes, that she alone relishes and that even I can see? And third, what is the happiness that she experiences that is 10,000 times greater than my happiness? I'm the supreme absolute embodiment of Sakshinananda, but still, I can't taste an atom of the happiness that she takes. So in order to taste these things, Mahaprabhu came, Krishna came, covered by the moving inspection of Srimati Radhika. He's called Gaura Hari. And as you all know, Gaura Hari, Hari means he who steals away. And Gaura means the golden complexion of Srimati Radhika. But because Radhika is Sarvalakshmi Mayi, that is, she is the personification of all his opulence, including the opulence of knowledge, that is what makes him God, that he is, when Prabhupada first came to the West, and I first started coming to classes, he sat us down in the 22nd Avenue Temple, which was his first temple, which I think was about half the size from this bar to this wall. 22nd Avenue Temple, and he started to tell us what is Bhagavan. Van means one possession. And Bhaga means fortune, one who possesses six fortunes, all strength, all wealth, all knowledge, all renunciation, all fame, and Prabhupada was performing the pastime of having a heart attack. shows Prabhupada presented in his songbook was for giving back the songs of Vainya or humility, the Guru Vaishnava that he had us sing every morning.
It was left on.
What?
It's battery thing.
What?
It was left on. So the battery thing.
The battery
is there.
Introduction to Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion.
No.
We see that he quoted this prayer by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Rupa Raghunath Upadhyay Vaidya Kuti Hameen Ebo Puja Bhasti Jugal Apiriti. When will I have that faith and that deep understanding of the kindful pastimes of Radha and Krishna? When will I be able to serve there? Who is Srila Prabhupada? Who is he descending from? Srila Narasimha Das Thakur, who in his prarthana is praying that when will my Gurudev, Lokanath Goswami, who is actually Manchavati Sati, who is a maidservant of Srimati Radhika, when will she teach me how to make the garland and how to put on the unguent of Srimati Radhika? Who is Srila Prabhupada's line coming from? Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who gave us Srimadabhagavat Manjali, where Srila Raghunath Das Goswami is praying that when will I be able to clean his rain and Srimati Radhika's palace? When will I dress her under the guidance of Lalita and Vishakha? When will I bathe her with water coming from Pavan Sarovar or the Jamuna River? And when will she put her lotus feet on my head and stamp me as the Chakmara, as the official stamp by the government, maidservant of Srimati Radhika? And Srila Rupa Goswami, his beautiful songs and prayers, Dhammamala. So this is the line that Srila Prabhupada is coming from. The line is, our Adi Guru is Brahma, but then Srila Prabhupada taught us that at the time of Sri Madhavendra Puri, Sri Madhavendra Puri was the personified sprout which manifested as the tree of that Premanpur, that service to conjugal Radha and Krishna, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested as the whole tree, and which is coming as the branches. Srila Prabhupada said our ISKCON mission is one of the eternal branches of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tree. Just as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just as Sri Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur. There's a very beautiful story about Sri Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur. He wrote so many beautiful books, like Prem Sankur, Chandrakar Chandrika, all about the very beautiful pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And some people were against his revealing those pastimes, so they made a conspiracy to kill him. So they planned that one morning, when he was out doing his bhajan, they knew what forest he went to in the morning to do his bhajan, so they began looking for him. And because the gurus, all the gurus in our line, are all pure devotees, and they know everything past, present, and future, so he knew that they were out to kill him. So what did he do? He changed into a very beautiful 12.5-year-old girl, picking flowers. And those dacoits approached him, now in the form of her, and asked, did you see a Babaji passing by here? So she said, yeah. He was over there. And so they started walking, but then they turned around and they saw that Manjari was in that same place, was now Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur. So then they understood What an offense that they made! And they bowed down to his lotus feet, and they all became his followers. So this is the line that Srila Prabhupada came from, or he's part of that line. Just like the Sandhi sang before class today, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava, all glories to Kunja Bihari, who takes pleasure. That Madhava and Radha, who take pleasure in Kunjas. The coward boys are never allowed to enter into the Kunjas. Gopi Jana Balava. That's our, those of you who have received Bhikshamansha. This is our Prayoshana deity. Gopinath, Gopi Jana Balava. The Lord of the Gopi. Or more specifically, he whose Lord is the Gopi. No coward boy would sing that song. And Prabhupada sang it shivering with tears in his eyes. His voice would break up when he would sing that. So this is the Prabhupada who came to our midst in 26 Second Avenue. So all of us drug out hippies, meat eaters, illicit sex mongers. And he began teaching us Chaitanya Charitamrita right away. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching to Sri Sanatana Goswami, discussing Krishna's opulent features and his brief features in Vrindavan. And then in the evening, this is back in 1966, 1967, he began also teaching the pastimes and character and history of Sri Prahlad Maharaj to give us a very firm foundation in self-sacrifice, following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, and preaching to such a big demon who tried to kill him. And Prabhupada inspired us to go out and share that love that he's given us to all the conditioned souls of first New York, then California, then Boston, then Seattle, Washington, New Jersey, Los Angeles, and then all over the world. He sent us out, turned us drugged out hippies, illicit sex mongers, and meat eaters into pioneers, into Vaishnavas spreading his mission. How powerful he is, and how merciful he is. And then, Srila Prabhupada took sannyas, not then, but before, just to show what line he's coming from. And what did he receive in his Gopal as his sannyas mantra? What was his sannyas mantra? It's a Gopi mantra. So Prabhupada is coming from those new kunjas. And Prabhupada received Gopal mantra and Kamgayati mantra. And both of those mantras signify the same thing as maid servant to Srimati Radhika. I've had so many very beautiful experiences with Srila Prabhupada in New York, in New Jersey, in Los Angeles, when he was pushing us on that Chaitanya Charitamrita marathon to, for all the ISKCON Press devotees, CBC devotees, to produce 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita in 2 months, at which time, in order to help us artists who knew nothing of transcendence, he told us everything, all the details of what everything looked like for all the paintings. And then in those same 2 months, we had to do 2 volumes of the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada told us all the details of what everybody looked like in that also. He was so merciful. Then he gave us instructions how to do the painting for his 6th canto, all the way up to 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. And then, in 1977, he, although he's transcendental and never touched by the modes of material nature, that Srila Prabhupada, who put on personally my first sari, a red silk sari. Perhaps you've seen that movie, Happiness on Second Avenue, where we were all dancing in front of Srila Prabhupada. And he, Brahmananda, the first Iskcon New York temple president, gave Srila Prabhupada a sari that was given to him by his sister, and then Prabhupada gave it to me, and he even wrapped it around me like mummy. And then he posed the first paintings that I did. Posed for Lord Srimadev, posed for Krishna playing the flute. So he was so very mercifully giving me his very fatherly association. Sometimes when I would come in his quarters, he would pat me on the head. He would personally feed me grudgingly when I would paint in his quarters. And he told Kirtananda, his first cook, to make me milk twice a day to nourish the spiritual brain and creative writing. I think many of you are familiar with this painting called Seva Clash. It was Prabhupada who first was, as you all know, it was Srila Gurudev who ordered me to do this particular painting in 1993. But it was Srila Prabhupada who gave me the first inspiration. That is, I think some of you may be familiar with the cover of his first stanza, Srimad Bhagavatam, which he brought a trunkload full of from India in 1965. So Prabhupada had me copy the Radha and Krishna part, Radha and Krishna and the lotus flower of Goloka Vrindavan. And I would sit there painting in his quarters. First I was painting in his temple room, and he invited me to paint up in his personal quarters. So I hesitated. I was about 19 years old then. And when I was first painting for him, I was wearing tight black dungarees and a tight black t-shirt. And still he invited me to paint up in his quarters. So I said, well, I'm not sure that's a good idea, because the paint fumes are so toxic. So he said, never mind, no problem. So for several months I painted in his quarters, and he would come sometimes and sit behind me and give me instructions on how to paint. So once when I was painting that Radha and Krishna painting, copied from the cover of his first canto Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada was always very encouraging, just like if you have a little toddler who's 1 year old and he can't walk at all. So the parents or grandparents hold his little teeny fingers and say, oh, you're walking so nicely. How cute. And then you take your hand away from his hand and he just flops down. So Srila Prabhupada was always so encouraging. So probably because of my where I come from before I met him, I was probably painting, looking very spaced out, thinking of a million other things. So just like Krishna took, as Prabhupada said, the bright side, and when Pupana came to kill him by feeding her the poison from her lips, from her breath, and with a desire to pump that poison into his mouth, so Krishna took the bright side and accepted her as his mother, as his nurse. And after she died, Krishna gave her the liberation of becoming a nurse, not in Goloka Vrindavan, but in Goloka, the surrounding area outside of Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. And she's forever serving him as a nurse, just like a mother. So similarly, Prabhupada took the bright side with us ex-Jyotiyamahippies, and seeing me looking so spaced out, he said, A creative person has to think more than he does. Just like a judge in court. He hears the two sides, and then in order to make a verdict, he has to think. The verdict only takes 1 second to say. He's guilty, he's innocent, he should get a fine, he should get a reward. That only takes 1 second. But to think about what that verdict should be takes a long time. So Prabhupada said, told me, every creative person has to think more than he does, more than he says. And then he told me the story of Jayadeva Goswami, who is a great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he came to this world sometime before Mahaprabhu. And Jayadeva Goswami was writing Gita Govinda, the very beautiful pastime of separation from Radha and Krishna. And he wasn't writing from his imagination, but he's writing in a state of realized trance. So the thought came to him, inspired by Krishna, as Krishna is saying to Radharani, Smaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravarav Parapalavam Udaram. So this last line, Devi Parapalavam Udaram, he could not write because the whole verse means Smara Garava Kandanam, O Radharani, I'm burning up in the fire of Cupid, in feelings of separation from you. Please relieve that fire, that flame, by putting your lotus foot on my head. Please be liberal enough to put your lotus feet upon my head to relieve me from that pain of separation. So this last line, please put your lotus feet on my head. He could not write because he had some little sense of I swore you down. That, how can I write this? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Radharani is his devotee. How could he want to put his head at the feet of his devotee, which is subordinate? So he thought, I cannot write this. So he told his wife, Padmavati, I'm going to take bath in the river. I have to think. So then she saw him come back and went to his book and wrote something, went away again. Then she saw him come back and this time his hair was wet. So she said, how did you go all the way to the river and come back so quickly? I didn't just go to the river. I left a long time ago, do you remember? So she said, yes, you left, but then you came back. And then you left again, and now your hair is wet. So you weren't going on for so long. And he said, what are you talking about? She said, well, you came, you went to your book, you wrote something, and then you left. He said, let me see that book. So she gave him the book, and he saw that even though he could not write that last line, Devi Parapalavam Udaram, somebody had written it. So then he began to weep, and he said, oh Devi, you're so fortunate, because Krishna personally came in my form, and he wrote the rest of that verse. So he was weeping, she began to weep, and they both fainted. So Prabhupada was very encouraging. Even though my mind was wondering, he said, oh, a creative person has to think more than he does. So I was really encouraged by him. Of course, sometimes I receive chastisement, like, for example, I made a Rasa-lila painting with Krishna with very wild hair, because in his Krishna book, it said that Krishna and Gopis, their hair became loosened by their dancing. So I made very loose, wild hair. For another pastime of Rasa-lila, which was described by Uddha in the third canto, Prabhupada's translation of the third canto Srimad Bhagavatam. And after Prabhupada saw that book, he said, this painting should be ripped out of every book, because I made Krishna look like a hippie plaything. Another time, he had given me, back in 1967, he had given me a very, he actually tore me out of a book, a Hindi book, a picture of Narada Muni standing there with his veena and his clapper in a very beautiful enchanting forest. He said, I'd like to make a big painting of this for my temple. This was in New York. So I copied the picture and he hung it up in his temple and he liked it a lot. And then I went to help start the temple in Boston. So, I forget whether it was Boston or New York, I saw that downtown in the art museum, they were showing a painting of the Mona Lisa. I think you all must know the Mona Lisa. And there were like three blocks of lines waiting to get a 1 minute view, and they had to move on. So I began thinking, well, I really wish that paintings that I'm doing for Prabhupada, Prabhupada's temple, would be as famous as the Mona Lisa. So I should change the style of my painting. So I went to the library, Boston Library, to the art section, and I got all these pictures of Jesus Christ, the kind of style of cloth that he wore, and he's kind of ugly. And so I painted Narada Muni with that kind of cloth that Jesus Christ had, put it in a regular card, which I got from another reference. I carried it in still. And then I sent that painting to Prabhupada's second temple, which was the San Francisco temple. And the devotees wrote to me that now we see this painting and we're all, it just made us dance in ecstasy during the kirtan. I just felt so good, my ego was really swelled. And then Prabhupada came to San Francisco and Prabhupada wrote me a letter. And he wrote that I'm very unsatisfied with his painting because he made him with muscles and gaunt cheeks like a meat eater. In the first painting he made, he looked like a milk drinker with sweet lips and full smooth skin. Then he sent me to Joseph Vinagapi, who came to Boston from San Francisco. He sent her with a picture, an Indian Vrijavasi prince, perhaps you've seen it, of Surda playing, blind Surda, playing his instrument and singing, and Krishna is there, very, very full and beautiful. He said, this is how I want the picture, not as you made it. He said, you may try to please the senses of the rational public, but my ambition is to please the senses of the acharyas. If it doesn't sell in the non-devotee market, I don't mind. I want to please the senses of our acharyas. And then, so he wrote that letter, and then I was just completely shocked, and I wrote an apology letter, three lines. Then he wrote me back, "This is the first time I've received your letter of only 3 lines. The thing is, there was a Brahmin, and the Brahmin was wandering in the forest, and he came to the house of a non-Hindu. So generally a Brahmin will never eat at the house of a non-Hindu. But he was so hungry, he thought, I have to eat something. So then he took his meal at the house of a non-Hindu. But the non-Hindu didn't have a lot to eat, but he was still hungry. So then he lamented, I lost my calf, and still I'm hungry. I lost both ways. So Prabhupada concluded his letter by saying, so if you try to please the senses of the rational public, still they won't be pleased. Because they really don't care who you think. They say, oh, it's Picasso? Oh, then it's good. So you won't get the popularity, and you'll lose your Krishna consciousness at the same time. So then I was so lamenting. Imagine, Hashem Prashada, Nagati Kutopi. Don't please the spiritual master and your whereabouts are unaware. Your whereabouts are unknown, or in other words, you're nowhere. So then a short time after that, Prabhupada was in New York, and I was in New York. So I called him to see him, and I apologized profusely. And he said, he continued from where the letter went, where the letter ended off. He said, people don't care who made the picture. Oh, it's a Rembrandt, and it's very good. So then I said, well, we're sort of the same way. We say, oh, Prabhupada said that? Then it's very good. So Prabhupada said, that isn't love, that is a different thing. And then he's so humble. He said, just like a child, just like a mother may have a blind child, but out of affection, the mother calls the child glorified. In other words, he was saying that he had no quality, but my praise was simply out of love. So then, so the mother called the child glorified. So then he said, he said, he didn't look at me, he said, you have a child's eye, he said to me. And then I said, you have lotus eyes. So then he looked down very shyly and said, I am an old fool. So he taught us what is parampara, what is the integrity of our own parampara. He taught us humility. He taught us what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Everything, even how to bathe. We were all bathing once a week until we met him. Just everything. What is human life? Because we all came out of animal life. So that Prabhupada, who was our life and soul, he disappeared from our vision in 1977. And then we all left, and we all tried to continue as best we could in the Los Angeles temple and all those other temples. And then, a little time after that, he, actually, when he was doing his pastime of invalidity, and we know that Prabhupada is never really an invalid, because we read in all the scriptures, and we want to be Shastra Jagati. So we read in the scriptures that the pure devotee has all mystic powers. In fact, the eight mystic powers, like being able to reach out to another planet and get fruit. That is, I go like that, and the fruit's right there from another planet. Or becoming smaller than Adam, than an atom, or heavier than the universe. So the eight mystic powers were a small, insignificant byproduct of this devotion. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, stated that the pure devotee is always protected by Radharani, so he can never be in bliss. If he appears to be in bliss, it's just to increase the loving service of his disciples. So, while he's doing those pastimes, we receive information from the devotees of Vrindavan. I was in Los Angeles at that time. We receive information that Srila Prabhupada said, so I want you to take advice from Srila Sridhar Maharaj and Srila Narayana Maharaj. But I never took that seriously at that time after Prabhupada's departure. So soon after, our temple president made an announcement that Prabhupada elected, appointed 11 gurus. And then, so they became the gurus, and I was so, I had so much quality for myself that I thought, well, why didn't they appoint me? I joined him before I knew they did. But okay, so I'll just try to follow. And then in 1980, I found out from one of my godbrothers that actually the gurus were never appointed. And it was kind of a relief for me, because already two of them had fallen down, and I no longer was able to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita or any other of Srila Prabhupada's books with peace of mind. Because, for example, I was reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adiyoga chapter 1, that the Shiksha Guru is not different from the Diksha Guru. And the Diksha Guru is a manifestation of the form of Krishna, and the Shiksha Guru is a manifestation of the personality or nature, the form of Krishna. Then in the next verse, according to Purana, but in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna says, no one should envy the spiritual master as one would envy an ordinary person, because he is the abode of all the demigods. And I'm thinking, three of them already fell down in the most ridiculous way. And they're not different from Prabhupada, and they're not different from Krishna, and I'm just completely devastated and broken. So I was very relieved in 1980 when a godbrother informed me that Prabhupada never appointed any gurus. Because if he did, it would mean that all of his books were invalidated. Can you imagine? All 60 volumes were invalidated, meaning that Prabhupada himself couldn't know what a Bhagavad Guru was. So, I said, but they're a pig. They have a appointment date. So, the devotee, my mother, he told me where I could get those pigs. So I called up the secretary who's in charge of the date ministry. And he sent me two tapes, May 1977 and June 1977. So then I heard the tapes about 10 times. And the way the tapes were made, it sounded like they were spliced. You know, like when you combine the two tapes together? But giving it the benefit of the doubt, Srila Prabhupada never appointed any gurus. Rather, when they asked him what to do, he said, Amar Vyaya Guruhan Har Edesh. You become perfect and preach all the scriptures as it is without any misinterpretation, which only a pure devotee can do. And thus you become guru and deliver your land. Then I went to the Chaitanya Charitamrita Mahaprabhu's discussion with Sri Rai Ramananda, where that verse is discussed. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes, one must first become an Uttamaharikara, that is a first-class devotee, who as all the qualification of a pure devotee, a Mahabhaga, who can see everything past, present, and future, who is already in his relationship with Krishna, who is free from all faults, who has all the magnificent powers. First become a first-class devotee, then become guru, and then deliver your land. So that was his instruction. In the back of Godhead magazine that was published just after Prabhupada's divine departure, there was an interview with Prabhupada. Who will succeed you in the Krishna consciousness movement? And Prabhupada said, Guru Bhakta Padma Bhakya Chitay Jay Kodya Aita, as we sing every morning. And he gave a little scriptural translation. The translation is, Guru Bhakta Padma Bhakya Chitay Jay Kodya Aita. When will my heart become one with your words? When will my heart become purified by your words? By the words that emanating from your lotus lips. So Prabhupada gave a little twist of the translation at that time when they asked who will succeed you. And Prabhupada said, he who follows the authority fully, he is the next authority. In other words, he was giving the same discipline succession that was coming down from time immemorial, from Brahma to Narada to Madhva to Vyasa. There is never any gap of pure devotees. I'm just now editing One Morning Walk, Srila Gurudev, where the devotee asks, how come we never hear about all the acharyas between Madhva, Vyasa, and Madhvacharya. So Gurudev said, because there is no one in between. I mean, there are so many great devotees, but Madhva is better up, the giant disciple of Vyasa. So then the devotee said, but Vyasa appeared 500 years ago, and Madhva appeared in the 13th century. So Gurudev said, 5,000 years ago, and Madhvacharya appeared in the 13th century. So Gurudev said, but Madhvacharya meditated, and by his meditation, Vyasa actually appeared fully before him. He initiated him, and he ordered him to reveal the deep meaning of the content of his book. So the disciple succession is continuing and will continue forever in that way. After I understood that the gurus were never appointed, I started studying Srila Prabhupada's book very, very intently to find out what to do next. I went to his fourth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Fourth canto, yes, where the story of King Paranjana was there. And after King Paranjana died, because he was so absorbed in his wife, he became a woman. And that woman was married to a great pure devotee named King Malaya Raja. Served him very well. This is an allegorical story. So the king represents the spiritual master, and the wife represents the spiritual. So then they both renounced her life, went to the forest, and he left his body. She wept. And there, Prabhupada writes, not only in the purport, but it's also in the verses, that just as the manus, I think you're all familiar with the manus, who appear in every mantra, which is 71 and a half millennia, many, many, many millions of then right from her board, that just as one mantra follows another mantra, so in this way the Krishna consciousness movement continues. Then Prabhupada wrote on the purport that this movement began, it's an eternal movement, it began in this material world at the beginning of time. That is, what was this movement? The propagation of the nine processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Arshanam, Bhajanam, Dasyam, Satyam, Atmani, Vedanam. So these nine principles, the mission, these nine principles are been carried down from time immemorial, and they will go on forever without being stopped. And the disciplic succession will go on without being stopped. So at that time when I was doing this study, because I understood now that the gurus weren't appointed, so what was the next popular thing going around? The Richard series. So then I began investigating that. And I listened to the second tape, where those who propagated the Richard series said that really when Prabhupada was appointing 11 gurus, he was appointing 11 Richard gurus. So then I continued studying the tapes with that investigation in mind. And then in the second stage, the first stage was made, where Prabhupada said, I will appoint some of you, or I will select some of you, to become, because they were asking, how will initiation proceed now? Now means while you're still here. So he said, I will appoint some of you to be officiating acharyas. So then the devotee said, would I have done Guru Maharaj or Small Krishna Maharaj? Yes. So that's listed, right? Prabhupada said yes. So then in the next month, in June, Small Krishna Maharaj was asking him, so now we're ill, Prabhupada, we don't know if we should continue giving initiation because you're ill. Because they had some conception that you need a chair, Prabhu? You need a chair? You're okay? Okay. So where was that?
Sadaswarup Maharaj asking.
Right. Because they had a conception that the spiritual master suffered the sinful reaction of the cycle. So they say you're already sick, you're already ill, so we don't want to give you more trouble. It wasn't until I met Srila Gurudev in 1992 that I found out that Srila Prabhupada never said that. It was only a misinterpretation, just as we had so many misinterpretations of what Srila Prabhupada's teachings were. And then Srila Gurudev set us straight. Because this is the business of the successor, spiritual master, is that he becomes transparent by media to the previous spiritual master. He defends his integrity, the integrity of the previous spiritual master. He continues his mission, and he clarifies the philosophy that the previous guru intended. So for us, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and the thousands of devotees who never met Srila Prabhupada, but have accepted Prabhupada as their Shiksha Guru, Srila Gurudev, that Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayana Goswami Maharaj, has done all that to clarify Srila Prabhupada's mission. When Srila Gurudev was, he took us in 1996 on his first world preaching tour. He said, I want to go to all places where Prabhupada went, which is now Mahatirtha. So the first place he went when he came to America in 1996 was Tompkins Square Park, where I first met Srila Prabhupada, and I showed Gurudev the tree that Prabhupada was standing under where I first met him. How do I tell that story? Yeah. Right, so that was one of the Mahamahamahajirta that Gurudev wanted to go to. He said, I'm coming to the West for 3 weeks to go to all the places that Prabhupada made Mahamahamahajirtas and take the dust from those places and put that dust on my head. The second reason is to take the water that Prabhupada gave me, the water of pure Harisika, and pour that water on all the sprouts, the dried up sprouts, the dried up seeds, and the wilted flowers that became that way after Prabhupada left. Prabhupada planted the seeds of bhakti, and then after he left, they became dry up seeds, or they became sprouted. Prabhupada died after he left, they became dry up sprouts, or they were turning into flowers, they became wilted flowers. So I was Prabhupada gave me the water to water all those seeds, sprouts, and beginning flowers, to make those flowers fully bloom at my first Prabhupada, so that I could offer all those souls the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And the third reason that I'm coming to the West, because so many of Prabhupada's disciples now have given up their chanting, have given up their other practices, have given up their Gayatri Mantra chanting. So I came to re-inspire them, and I came to continue his mission. In other words, he's Prabhupada's successor. So, back to that conversation, which I was excited to see if he had really made visit, which is actually quite an atheistic philosophy, because it doesn't accept that pure devotees are coming. It's like Gaudiya Vrindavan ran out of pure devotees, and it contradicts the parampara, which never ends. Principle of Guru Parampara, which is eternal. And it says there's no pure devotee now in this world. Therefore, one has to accept any conditioned soul as the representative of Srila Prabhupada, which is a contradiction of terms, because a conditioned soul cannot be experienced by immediate devotee. He must change the philosophy. He must change the mood. So sometimes, when the so-called Advaita gurus would challenge Advaitic people that you guys aren't supposed to be sadgurus or bona fide self-aligned gurus, like you say you are, Prabhupada made him listen. So this very statement proves that Advaita philosophy is not bona fide. Because those who are supposed to be mystic, what do they become? They just change the philosophy, change the mood. So this shows that the conditioned soul cannot be the next in line. So when I went to that conversation where they're saying to Prabhupada, so you're ill now, we don't want to give you more trouble, Prabhupada said, oh, it's okay. Ramaswari is in LA, Jai Kirti is there, Mahavishnu, you're here in India, and I'm also here in India. Someone else in England. So he was just saying, what's to go on now? And what's to go on in the future? Amara Gari Ruhan Tari Dish. The same philosophy. As Prabhupada often said, I've never invented anything new. I'm giving you old wine in Mumbai. And what's the legacy that Prabhupada left? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? What's it for?
capacity for new
Just try to be true by approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Render service unto him, inquire to him submissively, and he will find knowledge of you because he has seen the truth. What does seeing the truth mean? Prabhupada explains in the 10th canto, when Vasudeva saw Krishna, after Krishna appeared to Vasudeva in the Bhakti, and he saw Krishna crawling. This is the meaning of Tattva-darshi, one who actually sees. When I was painting in Prabhupada's quarter, 26 Second Avenue, and he was giving me luxuries, Kirtananda asked him, will we be able to hear you? How will we be able to hear you after your departure? He said, if your heart is completely pure. So many hundreds of us have come to a pure follower of Srila Prabhupada, that is Srila Gurudev Bhaktivedanta Narayana Goswami Maharaj. And we're very happy to be able to share with you this most unfortunately, there's no light. I hope that some light will soon go on so we can show you the book. Essence of all advice, that is Srila Prabhupada's nectar of instruction, Srila Gurudev's lecturing on all those verses and purports of Srila Prabhupada. Simile Shastikam, the eight prayers by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Pranandavi, the appearance days of various acharyas, including Nityananda Prabhu, including our Srila Prabhupada. This one is what?
Archanitika.
Archanitika, how can he worship? He sung Kopa Kama Shuma, very beautiful prayer for the moon of the Master, which Srila Prabhupada came to give. Bait of Heat, which corresponds to Srila Prabhupada's song of the food, Rai Ramananda Namba, very, very beautiful. Journey of the soul. What is real Prabhupada's real message on where the soul came from? We never fell into Goloka Vrindavan. Srila Gurudev proves that, and also uses at least 100 quotes from Srila Prabhupada, proving that Srila Prabhupada never thought that. He never said it. Because if we fell from Goloka Vrindavan, that means there's Maya there. And if there's Maya there, that means we can fall down there again. Or rather, there's only Yoga Maya. So this is one of the most very revealing books about what is the real mission of our Srila Prabhupada. I want us to understand it. Jaya Dharma. Srila Prabhupada said everyone must read Jaya Dharma. And this is pinnacle of devotion, which also proves from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give and made service to Srimati Radhika. This is Guru Tattva by Srila Gurudev's personal servant, Sripad Madhavaraj. What are the deep principles of the understanding of Guru? And Manashiksha, which Prabhupada quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prayer for the mind, how we can enter into spontaneous loving devotion. And Bhagavad Gita, Hindi. Bhagavad Gita, translated Hindi. And very important, Sri Vaishnava Rahasya. Srila Gurudev's translation of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's process how to enter into Vajra, and what to think about when we chant Hare Krishna. We also, and last but not least, I Am Spirit, a very, very beautiful, ecstatic novel for adults and children. by Venu Gopal Guru and Jai Gopal Guru. Very, very easy to understand from shows like the translation of the Sutta Canto of Srimad Bhagavatam of King Chitrakesu and how he became a pure devotee. Also, we have very beautiful posters. We have that, the one that I was telling you about, the Seva Kunj, that was first inspired by Srila Prabhupada with that story of Jayadeva from Swami that I told you about, and later on the details were filled in by Srila Gurudeva. Then, very beautiful picture, especially for month of Karti and for all year round. So he is sort of flying in Damodar. Gorgeous eyes, and in there you see many thousands of devotees. Prabhupada is in there, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is in there, Srila Gurudev is in there, and with Srila Gurudev spoken for, Venugopi, all these pictures have come out of Srila Gurudev's heart, and I was just a paintbrush to paint them. That large picture of Mother Yashoda by Krishna, and Manini Rasa, and praying some wood. The very, very deep secret. Just like Prabhupada's book, you get all my devotion distributed for all classes of men. The very intimate Krishna book. All of these very beautiful books, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So similarly, just like Prabhupada, Gurudev wants all of these paintings to go to every home, all of these books to go door to door, school to school, house to house, person to person. Even if the people are meteors, wine drinkers, no matter what sinful life they are, if they take these books and the posters, and the posters change the whole atmosphere of your house, or of your friend's house. All these books and the posters make the best presents for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, births, deaths, cultivating people if you're a preacher of Krishna consciousness, thanking someone if they did some service. And we also have very small pictures for your altar.